This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Today on The Dark Side Of, the prosecution is fumbling its case against Ghislaine Maxwell, according to Vanity Fair. We'll talk about that. YouTuber finds a car linked to teens who disappear in 2000 submerged in the Tennessee River. And a Maine man accused of murdering baby daughter can spend Christmas with other children, the judge rules. Those stories and more today on The Dark Side.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. If you like the program, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts or follow or whatever they're calling it this week. And if you like the show, check out our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com and search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. That'll redirect you right over there. There you can find all of our archive of episodes, our bonus episodes, our extras. It's all commercial free. And it's all there for you. It's only $5 a month to access it. And that support, of course, keeps us on the air. So if you like the show, please do check that out. Darksidepod.com, or go to Patreon and search Dark Side Of. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, well, not a whole lot, Tony.
Hey.
Hey. No, I was just like, you know, because sometimes I think the world can't get any weirder. And then I hear your intros to these stories, because I never know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And the guy who gets to spend the holidays with his other kids. What? Like, he kills one kid. Huh? And it's like, go ahead. Those kids are safe. Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, it's like with Duggar, too, where it's like, yeah, you guys can have, monitored visits with the kids. Like, really?
Really?
Are we looking at this whole, are you drunk when you made that choice, Judge? Or what the fuck?
I just don't get it.
And I do not agree at all with the argument that's made, well, the kids need their father. No, they don't. If he's on trial for this, they can take a little break. There's plenty of kids where dad goes away in the military or something for several months or years at a time, and he comes back and they're okay. And there's not this need sometimes to put the predatory or inappropriate or just shitty people around the children just because. Like, there's nobody that ever looks back and goes, I'm so glad I got to see my dad in prison while he was on trial for sexual porn or for child porn. It was just, had I not had those couple of visits, I don't know if I would have turned out as good as I did.
And how do you have that conversation? Well, daddy did something really bad. What did he do, mommy?
And some of them are old enough to figure it out, you know?
We'll have that conversation when you're closer to 21.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, what do you tell him? Like, that's horrific. Well, we could do yet another episode about Josh Duggar.
Yeah, but we're on another one today. Ghislaine Maxwell, that trial continues on. And according to Vanity Fair, the prosecution is fumbling its case against Ghislaine Maxwell. Prosecutors say they plan to rest the case against Jeffrey Epstein's associates by, when this airs, they're saying week's end, a shocking move from a team that appears to have failed on a number of other fronts already. Ghislaine Maxwell is on trial, but the case has always been about more than her. In seeking to put the disgraced British heiress behind bars for a possible 80 years, prosecutors are aiming to readdress serial failures by the justice system to punish the crimes of her partner, the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Which is why it's shocking and tragic that the prosecution's case against Maxwell appears far weaker than many people expected. The list of prosecutorial missteps is long. Victims have appeared unprepared for cross-examination. High-profile co-conspirators have not yet been called to testify about Maxwell's alleged role in Epstein's child sex trafficking operation. On Tuesday, prosecutors stunned reporters in the courthouse viewing room by announcing the government intends to rest this case before Friday, weeks earlier than anticipated. It all raises the painful question, will Maxwell go free? Before the trial opened, I counted myself among the pessimists who expected the case wouldn't provide a full accounting of Epstein's alleged crimes or expose the powerful men that allegedly participated in his depravity and his lifestyle. My view has held throughout the trial. I was dismayed, for instance, that prosecutor Laura Pomerantz's opening statement ran a short 35 minutes, roughly 10 minutes less than the government's opening argument in the Elizabeth Holmes fraud trial, for comparison. I was also underwhelmed the prosecutors didn't first call an alleged victim as their first witness and instead led off with Epstein's pilot, Larry. The perception in the viewing room was that Velosky testified more like a defense witness, claiming he never saw sex acts with underage girls or sexual activity on Epstein's planes. Testimony from Maxwell's alleged victims has been harrowing. On Tuesday, the third accuser testified that Epstein sexually abused her more than 100 times, starting when she was 14 years old. The woman, identified by her first name Carolyn, recounted that Maxwell often scheduled her massages with Epstein and once groped her while she was naked and said she had a great body for Mr. Epstein and his friends. Carolyn and Maxwell knew she was under the age of legal consent. In one heartbreaking moment, Carolyn broke down and said, "My soul is broken because of Maxwell's alleged abuse." Unfortunately, prosecutors didn't follow up with and ask Carolyn the name of Epstein's friends. Carolyn's gut-wrenching testimony was also undermined by a seemingly lack of preparation by the prosecution. Under cross-examination, one of Maxwell's lawyers, Jeffrey Pagula, exposed inconsistencies in Carolyn's prior comments in the case. He noted that Carolyn didn't mention Maxwell's name once during her first interview with the FBI in 07. Neither did Carolyn include Maxwell's name in subsequent lawsuits that she filed against Epstein and alleged co-conspirator Sarah Kellen. Here's how one tense exchange unfolded. Your two lawsuits involving Jeffrey Epstein and Sarah Kellen say nothing about Maxwell, correct? Correct. Your deposition testimony in 2009 says nothing about Miss Maxwell other than the two words that Miss Crummy read, correct? Correct. Of course, the absence of Maxwell's name doesn't mean Carolyn's story isn't true. Victims of sexual abuse or rape often change their stories as they process trauma. This fact is often spun by defense lawyers to undermine a victim's testimony. The prosecutors should have prepared Carolyn to address the issue head on A similar dynamic played out last week during the testimony of a victim identified as Jane. Another Maxwell lawyer, Laura Messinger, pressed Jane to comment on why her testimony differed from her prior interviews with the FBI. Jane seemed rattled by the questions, at one point alleging that the FBI incorrectly transcribed her comments. On Tuesday, the government suffered another embarrassing setback when Maxwell's defense revealed that Jane called her brother, who was a government witness, and complained about the cross-examination. It was a possible violation of the judge's rules, and now her brother will no longer testify. The weakest plank in the prosecution's case, however, has been the lack of testimony from Epstein's innermost circle. Prosecutors having called Epstein's highest profile accuser, Virginia Roberts Guffrey, to the stand, even though her name has been mentioned numerous times by other witnesses. Meanwhile, Epstein's controversial 2007 non-prosecution agreement listed four alleged co-conspirators: Sarah Kellen, Adriana Ross, Leslie Groff, and Nadina Markova. Notably, Maxwell's name wasn't included. These women conceivably could testify about Maxwell's role in the alleged sex trafficking operation. Why didn't the government gain their cooperation against Maxwell? And if the women didn't cooperate, why didn't the government charge them too? The women have denied any allegations. It's possible that the government may call one or more before arresting. Of course, it's impossible to predict how members of the jury will rule, especially since cameras in the viewing room don't show their faces. But given the stakes of the trial, the government surely hoped for an open and shut case. They had more than 500 days to prepare one, but they didn't. That from Vanity Fair and Gabriel Sherman writing that article.
That's really interesting.
I got a lot to say. Go ahead. Give me a break.
Well, and for one thing, Jeffrey is not on trial here. And there's been a lot of talk of it really is a trial about him and not about her. And I can see how easily it could go that way. But when you have so many, because you and I both watched that documentary that was on TV. I don't remember what it was on.
There's been like 10.
All those girls mentioned her.
Yeah.
So where are all these girls?
Well, and, no, there's plenty of the girls testifying right now, but it's like they're just grabbing the...
But why aren't they bringing it home?
Yeah. I got a theory.
Makes sense.
I got a little theory.
Because it sounds like
they're
purposely doing this.
This is the U.S. government. This is the U.S. government against Ghislaine Maxwell. Who or how many people involved currently or in the past with the U.S. government may have likely been involved.
Go ahead and say Bill Clinton.
Well, yeah, certainly one of them. Yeah, without a doubt. But I'm thinking the list is far longer than that. I would not be surprised.
Oh, I think the list is so long that I think we'd be shocked. We haven't heard yet.
And I think that's why the government, which can choose who's going to prosecute this. Did someone say, give us our weakest attorneys, give them their weakest attorneys, even though the case is pretty strong, they'll fuck it up. And there'll at least be a chance she doesn't go to jail. Because I think they fear that she'll sing like a songbird and eventually rat out all these people in or out of government. And that would be quite devastating.
Even if they're not in government, these are people with a lot of money.
I think her target would be the U.S. government right now, because that's just going after her. I don't know that she'd necessarily, spill on everybody else. But I think if she can threaten the people that have the choice of who's going to prosecute her and how that case is going to go and kind of hold that over their head a little bit behind the scenes, you're probably going to get shitty attorneys.
But I don't even know. If you think about this, I don't even know that it would be her. It could be the Bill Gates type of people.
The
people who are really powerful
deeper.
And really... Now, I'm not saying that Bill Gates necessarily did one of these teenage girls, but he was certainly friends with the guy, and he made some... I don't know. I think Bill Gates is one of the people involved as well.
That was really... That to me has been a shocking one.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's just alleged. There's no proof or
anything.
And
his wife divorced him.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of things you look at and go, connect the dots.
But these are really powerful people.
These are all allegations. Yeah.
And they're very, very powerful. Not just the Bill Clintons, but there's a lot of people. And so if you really did get somebody to start saying, well, if you're going to put me on trial, better put Bill Gates on trial, better put Bill Clinton on trial.
I think you would
rattling off a bunch of other names.
I think it would be a waterfall from everywhere. And I don't think this, I mean, and I don't want to get political or anything, because I think it would waterfall on both sides. Because I think the first thing would be like, oh, look, Bill Clinton, the Democratic hero, like, and let's open the spigot. And it's, and I think you're going to just see it everywhere. I don't think there's going to be any like, well, I know you are, but what am I? Because it's like, there's going to be so many people that nobody expected that, you know, just the shocking shit we've seen in the last 10 years. Bill Cosby, for example, you know, people that were just like loved. And now it's like some of the dirtiest, creepiest motherfuckers around. And there's going to be more. There's going to be more heads that will fall, whether it's involved with this case or something else.
I think you might be onto something there. There's a reason why the prosecution is so.
There's a reason.
Inept.
This is a pretty fucking big case, and there's a reason that this is going on. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I really am not. But there's just enough shit that surrounds this guy and how much he got away with, and how much these people know, and the circles that they were running in, that there's next to nothing that's going to, I think, get that information out there. I'm surprised she's not dead yet, quite honestly. But I guess that wasn't in the playbook here, because I totally thought she's not going to make it, unless maybe they don't feel like she's going to sing yet. I don't know. But I would guess there's orders on her. If she says, I want to talk, I want to say this or that, that's like, you're fucking dead.
Because, I mean, you just watch that documentary alone. It seems like you could come up with enough evidence to convict this woman.
Yeah.
And I'm not a lawyer.
Well, I mean, all we can hope is that the heartfelt testimony from these victims resonates with that jury. But yeah, it's fucked up. I don't know where this one's going to go. I don't know.
I don't either.
It feels like it could go many a directions. Let's do another story over here. This is interesting. A YouTuber finds a car linked to teens who disappeared in 2000 submerged in a Tennessee river. So basically a YouTuber coming along and solving an unsolved mystery is what we have here. Would that be accurate?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with this.
This is interesting. And since it is an unsolved mystery, I want to do this here. So help me fill a little bit of time. Carol.
Well, you know, what's interesting is a lot of those YouTubers and, you know, podcast people, they actually are taking on a lot of these cold cases and investigating them themselves. And I was watching a show the other day about how many crimes are being solved by these people. Have I stalled enough yet?
Yeah, no? You're good. Almost.
Okay, thanks.
Because I completely agree. Because
anyway, that's my point. I think that when you get the facts out there and a lot of different people are discussing it, and it brings up some new angles and some new twists to it, or the new what ifs that other people hadn't thought about.
I want to see the statistics on unsolved cold cases being solved since the advent of podcasts.
Well, there's that one up and vanished. That's really interesting.
Yeah,
I listened to that first season. I thought they did a great job and pretty much solved it.
Yeah.
Because then I saw it was on 20 or 20 or something.
It's crazy. It's like podcasters are solving these mysteries, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But here, in honor of this being an unsolved mystery solved, we brought Robert Stack back from the dead.
YouTuber finds car linked to teens who disappeared in 2000 submerged in Tennessee River. Maybe they too solved an unsolved mystery.
So, a little quick line from Robert, but he's going to be on a lot of...
Is he going to be like a guest host or guest commentary person?
Actually, I'm going to have Robert Stack is going to be reading the headlines going forward on Real Ghost Stories Online. So
that's great.
So it's going to be tonight on Real Ghost Stories Online. And then he reads it like an unsolved mystery headline. And then it goes into our voice guy. And then we begin the show. So that's.
And if anyone's wondering, like, wow, where does Tony get the money to hire that guy?
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah, he's dead. And I like to hire dead people. It's part of EOE here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We don't discriminate. We hire the dead as well. But, you know, I get asked, like, what are you doing? How are you doing that? Like, it's a secret. And that's kind of really where I'm at.
Just start digging around.
You can
yourself.
Dig. You can dig. It. You can find. But I mean, these are kind of little neat little toys that I've found. And it's part of my secret toy chest that I'm going to bring out here on the radio every now and then. But it's pretty cool. I can think I play a little bit more.
Does he have anything else to say about this?
Probably nothing more about this, but I'm just going to play a little bit of the conversation between Casey Kasem and Robert Stack. Nothing in depth by any means from what you heard earlier.
Hello again, everybody. This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood.
And I'm Robert Stack, standing under a cold, dark bridge, staring softly and slowly, whispering I love you to all those who pass by.
I mean, couldn't you see Robert Stack, you know, in his later years, like missing being on Unsolved Mysteries, standing under a cold, dark bridge, whispering I love you to all those who pass by?
I think it's so funny.
I think I could see him doing that, you know. That just, it seems somewhat logical. It seems like a possibility of what Robert may be into. You just never really know.
And just the idea of those two talking to each other, I just love it. Yeah, I love it.
I know. I had quite a dirty conversation going on beyond that between, and I played for Carol when we got on the phone tonight, but that's not arable.
And it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate.
Not at all.
That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I'm just telling you that.
It's just amazing it's amazing and it's scary.
People, there's people right now going, I can handle it.
No.
Or can you?
Wait till we get Keith Morrison involved in the conversation. This is going to be... I'm creating monsters!
Audio monsters!
All right, so here we go. This is again from People. The families of two Tennessee teens who went missing in 2000 may finally be getting some answers thanks to a YouTuber. Jeremy Bo Sides is a YouTuber who goes scuba diving in rivers and lakes in an attempt to solve missing person cases and help bring closure to families in need. According to his channel, Exploring with Nug, recently Sides found his efforts on the case of Aaron Foster, 18, and Jeremy Betchell, 17, who vanished without a trace on April 3rd, 2000. NBC News reported, citing the White County Sheriff's Office, the teens disappeared after leaving Foster's home, and their whereabouts have been a mystery ever since, for the outlet. All that changed recently when Sheriff Steve Page with the White County Sheriff's Office said he learned about Sides' diving efforts while attending church on November 28th. While speaking with a member of Aaron Foster's family, Sheriff Page was asked if he had seen any of Sides' videos. Police wrote on December 2nd press release, Sheriff said no but asked her to send him a link to the website. Authorities added, Sheriff stated that when he got home, he looked at the video and contacted the man. The video, which was titled Cold Case, Searching Lake for Two Teenagers That Vanished 20 Years Ago, was posted on Sides' YouTube page on November 24th. The 13-minute clip followed the YouTuber as he dove into a nearby lake and searched for the missing teens and the black 1998 Pontiac Grand Dam they were last seen in. I think it's supposed to be Grand Dam. I don't recall it Grand Dam, do you?
No, it was a Grand Dam.
But I'm guessing the person who didn't live in the era of Grand Am.
Like, it was a Grand.
It's a Grand Dam. I love that. In his press release, Sheriff Page explained that after looking more closely at this case, he told Stiles that they felt like he was searching the wrong area and informed him the area where the couple went missing 21 years ago. The location ended up being Calfkiller River near Highway 84 in Sparta, Tennessee, according to the sheriff. Page said Sides immediately went to the area to search on November 30th and soon discovered a submerged vehicle. The exciting moment was documented on his YouTube channel. The video showed Sides underwater, wiping algae from the submerged car to display the Pontiac label on the back of the vehicle's license plate. Human remains were also found in the vehicle. CBS affiliate WTVF reported, after Sides came up to the surface, he called Page to notify him of the discovery. Page then contacted Major John Meadows, and the team was on the scene within minutes to investigate, according to the press release. Authorities were later able to confirm the match of the vehicle, which they said belonged to Foster, according to the sheriff, Page. It was pulled from the Calf River on December 1st, with Sides documenting the extraction on his YouTube channel. "I'm lost for words," Sides said in the video. "I'm so glad I could find them. I'm so sad that they ended up there. I can't believe it's been over 20 years and they've been sitting there waiting for someone to find them." "It's a weird mix of emotions. Can't even explain it," he said. "But this isn't about me. It's about getting them home. And we're going to do that today." Investigators told WTVF that the human remains are expected to be identified using genetic DNA testing and dental record comparisons. Though it's not been confirmed that they are belonging to Foster and Vetchel, the families were notified of the discovery per the outlet. "We're not sure yet that we have the correct teenagers. We believe it is," Page told NBC News, adding that preliminary information suggests the teens ended up in the water by accident. "All the windows are up. Looks like they went around the corner and lost control and went off the river," Side said in the YouTube video. Page confirmed to NBC News that divers had searched the waters before but had missed the vehicle. "They're probably less than an eighth of a mile from where the car was found. They just never got anywhere around the car," he explained, adding that since 2000, the town has put up guardrails around the river. Page also said drivers from other counties will continue to search the river on Thursday. "I give Jeremy credit for finding the car," he told NBC News. "All I did was kind of point him in the right direction, and he got in the water and found them. It's so good to be able to bring closure to these families." So that's an interesting one. I mean, it's interesting that, I mean, there's some involvement there. The police came and said, "Go over here. You're kind of in the wrong area." But I guess my question is, if they knew, like, go over to this area, why hadn't there been any more people in that area in 20 years?
Well, and it seems, too, like if they went off the road, there would only be certain places they could. And, you know, if they left here, you know, I don't know. It just seems like they could have figured it out, because it seems like the guy got into the water and found it how many minutes later?
Yeah, I know. Many? It was like, go over here. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. That he was able, and now maybe he searched quite a few other places before then. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's really fascinating and really amazing for the families of those people.
Yeah.
Because it was so, how many people was it?
It was the two kids.
More than one, two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine all these years not knowing what happened? And then, obviously, you know, this much time, the worst happened.
Yeah.
But to have some closure to that has to be pretty amazing.
I know. They're my age.
And to know they're not out there like they weren't murdered, they're not being sex trafficked and all the other horrible things. Yeah.
I mean, I think that would bring, I mean, some closure and some comfort to the parents, I hope. I mean, you're never going to erase that pain of your child being gone. But, I mean, just to know that it's just something that...
And it's closed. It's over. Yeah, it's not just dangling out there forever.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for that person. That's amazing. That's impressive.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you go, okay, good. I'm glad that somehow this finally, you know, happened for that family.
Yeah.
But it's impressive that there, I mean, it's so interesting. You know, we used to just only have, you know, the police detectives and such. And many do amazing work and have solved many amazing cases. But I think now we're in a new land of, it doesn't have to be the police that investigate this shit anymore. I mean, people are just doing it for fun. And by sheer number, there's far more manpower in the greater good of society than any police department can, you know, muster up. And I think sometimes when we look at it, go, why didn't they figure that out already? Well, because there's like five of them and there's like 800 of you. So little difference in manpower, you know, and they're doing what they can. But oftentimes, you know, you're limited by your resources.
Man, and if you're a police department, you should be going through those cold case files. And if there's something that's got some evidence and some things to go on, hand that off to somebody who does podcasts like that.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting, like create like a brigade of people that are, you know, like almost like, you know, volunteer detectives or something where it's like,
yeah,
like you want to look into this more. You want to look, you know, when if it's appropriate, you know, if you're, you know, part of this thing, you want to, you know, look at evidence, things of that nature that we can, you know, legally let you look at because you're trying to, you know, look into this more. Great. I think you'd have a ton of people like just volunteering their time to do shit like that. And I think we'd have so many more crimes that could be solved just by letting people do it for free, you know, and like let the department and let the officers, you know, kind of help guide things. But I think that could be a really interesting, you know, almost outreach type thing of like, look, let's get the community actually involved in our policing and in our discovery and what we're doing. And it's not just this behind the smoke screen. Here's what we say is all powerful and good. Let's get people involved in the actual act of policing their own communities. And I think you could have some pretty amazing results.
I totally agree. I just thank God for that person looking into it. Because those families might not have ever gotten that closure.
No, I don't think they would.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was an interesting one.
It was. Another one, a man, this is just horrible. Maine man accused of murdering baby daughter can spend Christmas with other children, a judge rules.
It makes me sick. It makes me sick.
And here's the thing. The first thing that's going to be said is those damn liberal judges. This is not a liberal judge. This is a crazy judge. This is not a liberal choice. This is a you're fucking dumb choice. A Maine man accused of killing his infant daughter in 2020 will be able to visit with relatives, including children, this holiday season, people confirms. Oh, how nice. Do the relatives really want to visit with him? No, I think that's the question.
Really?
I don't think I'd be like, oh, yeah, bring him over. This will be a great holiday Christmas come together. It'd be like a Hallmark movie.
I'm
going
to make his favorite dish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
The County Superior Court judge this week granted a bail modification request from Trevor Arville, 28, a spokesperson or spokeswoman for the clerk's office, tells People. In September, Avril pled not guilty to charges of depraved indifference, murder, and manslaughter in the death of his 2-month-old daughter, Harper Avril.
Oh.
The terms of his bail dictated that he have no contact with children. But on Monday, Justice Howard Stewart II, kids, his name is Justice Howard Stewart II, just in case you want to look him up, granted a motion from Arville's attorney seeking to amend the conditions of his release on a $25,000 bail. Well, that's what you get for murdering your daughter, allegedly murdering your daughter. The Sun Journal of Lewiston reports the request was granted despite the objections of Assistant Attorney General Lisa Bogue. What does she know? The similar motion filed in November was granted to permit Avril to spend Thanksgiving with relatives, including minors. Why? Given the nature of the charges, the seriousness of the charges, we're not in the position to be agreeable to the defendant having any contact with children, Bogue said, told the judge, according to the paper. On July 22nd, 2020, County Sheriff's Office received a report of an infant in medical distress from the Turner Maine home where Avril was living with Harper's mother. Despite their best efforts, deputies were unable to revive the unresponsive infant who was flown to the Maine Medical Center in Portland where doctors pronounced her dead. An autopsy revealed Harper died from a fractured skull and severe brain injuries associated with shaken baby syndrome. The Sun Journal reports medical examiners also discovered the baby was still healing from a weeks-old rib fracture when she died. Stewart ruled that Avril could visit with relatives on Christmas Day from noon to 3 p.m., 1 hour longer than he was allowed to on Thanksgiving Day. During that visit, the judge said Avril will be allowed to contact with 3 children. Oh, we give numbers now. 3 of you can possibly fall victim. How do they do that? Is that like... How the fuck do you decide that? Pick straws? The contact must be supervised at all times by the parents of the children. Oh, thanks for throwing that in, Judge. And I think we've carved out some safeguards that can allow for this to happen safely, Stewart said, noting Arville's Thanksgiving visit was uneventful. According to the Sun Journal, Avril's attorney Jeffrey Wilson said in court his client had a large extended family and that he's living in Buckfield with his with Harper's mother while out on bail. Avril and his attorney could not be reached for comment. What the fuck? He's even out on bail? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Like, there's a child that's dead.
From shaken baby syndrome.
I don't even kind of understand that, this one. Like, I get maybe he's, I don't even get that. Like, with COVID and everything, maybe he's under house arrest because the jails are overcrowded, whatever. But not get to go visit your family and, like, everything's normal.
Yeah.
I mean, there, a child is dead.
Why we're, like, even
and
giving...
And you can go see your other kids.
I know.
I just, oh, that shit pisses me off.
It just is, it's fucking baffling. I mean, the way that this is, I mean, the only thing I can think of is like, this is some really backwards ass town and people are like, well, you know, I don't know.
Or maybe they don't have the strong evidence on him. I mean, but he was arrested, so there must be a pretty good case, else he wouldn't have been arrested.
Somebody shook
it.
The kid. Somebody shook the fucking kid and hurt the kid.
And chances are he was the one who was alone with a child. And yeah. That's usually what happens.
I'm sorry, we don't necessarily, like, why are we, it's like, oh, is this not like second grade where it's like, and now you get your Christmas party. No, you're in fucking prison for killing your child. I'm sorry, you don't get to go to the Christmas party this year. Sorry, Thanksgiving meal in the cafeteria, canceled. Enjoy the ham and cheese.
Yeah.
I don't. What is this? What is this grace that we continue to give these disgusting, you know, piles of flesh?
You know what's so crazy is I was watching Dr. Phil the other day, and there was a family on there where the two, I think it might have been three sisters, but two are on Dr. Phil, and they had been repeatedly abused by their dad over and over and over and over again. And the son, their brother, came in and saw the dad in the act, and he killed him. That guy got 1,800 years. 1,800. Like, Christ had just died 200 years. You know, when you think of the span of 1,800 years?
I know.
Christ had only been dead 200 years. That's how long ago that would be. And I'm like, somebody kills a child. Like, how could you let him walk out of there?
I know.
There's obviously some extreme anger issues. Or sick. I don't know. I'm assuming he got really angry. And I don't get it. I don't get it.
It just baffles the mind. I mean, I don't even know how you can, you know, even begin to kind of like take this in and make any sense of it.
I don't think you can, because it doesn't make sense.
What just makes it so offensive is that it's coming from our legal system. You know, it's coming from the ones where it should be going, yeah, this is not okay. And I don't know. There's just so many things that just don't make any sense.
What about the little child's mother? Like, is she totally fine with him just getting out?
Oh, it sounds like they're shacking up together still.
Oh, my God.
So. Gotta love it. The fact that he's even out makes me sick.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Yeah. Just the mind power, the brain power that's going into this. To the fact that we're talking about this on another part of the country, about this man who committed this crime's Thanksgiving and Christmas Day requests are the subject of conversation. That his wish for this makes this kind of a ripple is just like, what the fuck? But I guess, you know, sometimes it has to make the ripple for anything to be done or for like people to feel shame about letting this sort of shit happen. I don't know. Maybe that's the purpose of it, making that ripple effect.
Me.
I don't know. It's just fucked up. Anyway. That is going to wrap up tonight's episode of Dark Side of. Thank you guys for listening, keeping us on the air. Press subscribe or follow wherever you download podcasts. We could not do this thing without you. So thank you so much for your support. Check out darksidepod.com or go to our Patreon page and search Dark Side of. Support us, get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all commercial free. The archive, it's all there too. Darksidepod.com or Patreon and search Dark Side of. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening. The Dark Side of.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.